speaker today, Christian Science practitioner Ann Nealand. Ann is a lifelong student of Christian Science and has always loved and practiced it. She grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, graduated from Principia College with a degree in English literature, and had a career in human resources management, working in Washington, D.C., Ann Arbor, Michigan, Seattle, Washington, and San Francisco. She and her husband, Stu, have two children and live in San Rafael. Wherever Ann has lived, she has been active in her local Christian Science branch church. She's served several terms as first or second reader, teaches Sunday school classes of all ages, serves in the reading room, on the lecture committee, and in other church posts. Anne took primary class instruction the year after graduating from college, and in 2009 began advertising in the Christian Science Journal as a full-time public practitioner of Christian Science, her favorite job of all. She's shared many healings, articles, and audio programs through the Christian Science Publishing Society, and has given talks and interviews about Christian Science to the public. It's indeed my pleasure to introduce Ann Nealand, who will be talking on the topic, "Come Unto Me," a quote by Christ Jesus. Welcome, Ann.
Thank you, Edie. And thank you to all of you. I just love hearing about your inspiring and selfless service to the cause of Christian Science in this special way, serving in the San Francisco International Airport Reading Room. And I just so appreciate how your service is touching heart by heart the honest seekers for truth. And listening to the comments about the renovation and realizing what it seems to present for the reading room's accessibility, I'm thinking that our topic, where Christ Jesus says, "Come unto me," is especially relevant because that's the Christ speaking. It wasn't just Jesus speaking as a person. It was the Christ speaking to all of us. And the full passage in the book of Matthew in the Bible, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, reads this way: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So this is the Christ speaking to all of us. Sometimes it seems as though when we're serving in a reading room, as though we're hoping that people will walk through the door so that we can share the Christ with them. But recently, while conducting a service in the Marin County Jail, my fellow volunteer and I had an inspiring experience which illustrates something more. We were told that we couldn't go into the usual men's pod for whatever reason. And so we asked what other one might be available, and we were escorted into another men's pod. So they weren't expecting us, but they allowed us to come. And we set up in the small conference room off the main area, and the deputy in charge at our request gave us the boom box that we used to play our hymns and announced that it was a Christian Science service. And I explained to the deputy that this was not Scientology. And so we set up our small table and no one came near. I think there was a football game on in the common area. And there was just, it didn't seem like we were going to get anyone joining us. But the thought occurred to us that why would the Christ be more powerful if a human body is right in the room with us than if it's anywhere? The Christ has nothing to do with where human bodies are. And so the Christ, which is the wonderful truth and message that Jesus lived and embodied and practiced and made so clear, it could be defined as the true understanding of God as love and of man as love. And so does that have anything to do with walls or cells or locked doors or proximity to another human being? No. And so my fellow volunteer and I decided that we would just go ahead and conduct the service. We'd ask the deputy if we could stay, even if no one came in immediately. And he kindly let us do that. So we turned on the first hymn and we quietly sang it and then we prayed the Lord's Prayer, a silent prayer, and we read the lesson, both of us taking turns. And I think we were in the middle of the fifth section when a man came to the door and said, "Do you represent the Christian Science Monitor? Do you have that?" And we said we didn't have it with us, but he probably could find it on the book cart. But that was produced by the Christian Science Church. So then he inched in a little farther into the room. And we began talking about Christian Science. He was interested in the paper, and he said he wasn't interested in just sitting and listening to the Bible being read. And he asked if Christian Science takes the Bible literally or more loosely. And we responded, "Oh, definitely Jesus is the Son of God, the son of a virgin, walked on water, raised people from death, healed sin, healed sickness, healed disease, fed multitudes, stilled storms. And yet sometimes the God portrayed in the Bible is not that loving way that Jesus lived." Well, he inched a little closer and he actually sat down at the table. And then he wanted to know about the background of Christian Science. So we told him about this wonderful experience of Mary Baker Eddy, who, having grown up in such a staunch Christian family that was so devout, couldn't find healing. Even though she prayed the best she knew, her parents prayed, her church prayed, she was still sickly and weak. And it wasn't until she was literally on her deathbed after an accident that she asked for her Bible and got a glimpse of something different that she hadn't seen before. As she said, life in and of spirit. This being the sole reality of existence. Well, our visitor's eyes kind of perked up at that. And he allowed us how he wasn't sure about the nature of God. And his mother was very sure about the existence of God, but he wasn't sure that he was. And that, in fact, he was a drug addict and a lifelong drug addict. He had been a drug addict. Well, he had used drugs since age 9. And we talked about the textbook, Science and Health, as opening the spiritual meaning of the Bible in a way that heals. Because after the author of that textbook got that glimpse of spirit, she didn't stop and just dismiss that as a miracle. She pursued it dedicatedly, finding that line of light through the Bible that heals, that portrays God's true nature as pure, infinite, ever-present spirit, making man in his image and likeness, and therefore man as spiritual, not material, and as all good. And we talked about the last chapter of Science and Health being 100 pages of people whose lives were transformed, healed, lifted, saved by just reading that book. And we were allowed to talk with this man for about 15 or 20 minutes. He asked for a copy of the book, which has been delivered to him, and was so touched by the idea, all of which, the ideas that have been shared, all of which started with his interest in the Christian Science Monitor. So how wonderful that Mary Baker Eddy didn't just found a textbook, she established a church to preserve the healing ideas that she had discovered in the Bible so that they would be here for all time, and a newspaper which would show its readers a balanced, responsible, hopeful view of the world. As I heard recently on a Christian Science Monitor podcast, that they often talk about, the staff bring light but not heat to the situation, to the news. Well, that gave us a sense of the purpose of a reading room too. Same thing. As we sit in the reading room, are we praying for someone to walk through the door? Or are we knowing the allness and the ever presence of spirit, which knows no walls, no barriers, no obstructions? In fact, in the platform of Christian Science, which is in the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 338, it unpacks the word Adam. And what a helpful concept to get clear about, because that concept of Adam and his willful departure from God, along with his wife, has plagued the world ever since. And it is highlighted in this passage on page 338, where it says, if you divide the word Adam into two syllables, it reads a dam or obstruction. Well, we've heard a little bit about obstructions in the news of our airport remodeling. And just pausing for a minute, you know how our textbook also says, whatever blesses one, blesses all. Well, that's a law of God. So if it blesses the San Francisco International Airport to have a facelift and remodel, if it blesses one passenger to have the airport freshened and made better, it is impossible that it could hurt something else. Because this is a law of God. Whatever blesses one, blesses all. We can trust that. That something that is a blessing, which is keeping things up to date and abreast of the times, can only bless all. So here is this coming back to Adam. So if we divide it into two syllables, it means a dam or obstruction. And it says here, a dam is not a mere play upon words. It stands for obstruction, error. Even the supposed separation of man from God, and the obstacle which the serpent, sin, would impose between man and his creator. So there's nothing here about boards or glass or metal or signs or entrances. It is, what is the obstruction? Error. The supposed separation of man from God. And the obstacle, which, nothing physical, the serpent's sin would impose between man and his creator. So what's the serpent? From the Glossary of Science and Health, in part, the belief in more than one God. So is there a power apart from God that could cause evil, that could cause decline, that could cause limitation, that could cause someone to not find the truth that they desperately want? The only power is God. The only mind is God. So are there separate minds? The mind of this person wanting the truth but not being able to find it, and another mind desperately wanting to share the truth but not being able to share it? No. Just as we learned in the jail the other day, there's one God, one mind, ever present, present everywhere. It has nothing to do with where human bodies are. It is the ever presence and omnipotence of the one mind, God, already everywhere. So it says, the belief in more than one God? No. There's one God, and therefore one mind, and therefore man, God's reflection or expression or idea, already includes everything, every right idea. There is no physical barrier, no physical process that can stop this. Then the next thing in this definition of serpent, the first lie of limitation. Notice it's a lie. So there is nothing that can limit the dispensation of truth because it's already everywhere. There's nothing that can channel it or funnel it in a wrong direction because it's already everywhere. Truth is ever present in human consciousness. And it says in the very first part of Science and Health, a divine influence ever present in human consciousness and repeating itself. So this is what God is doing. The divine presence ever present in human consciousness and repeating itself. So it's already there. The truth that we so want to share and that others so want to have is already in place. It's already in consciousness. Not only that, but it's repeating itself. And then the next term, the first audible claim that God was not omnipotent and that there was another power named evil, which was as real and eternal as God good. So is there a power anywhere in God's universe to oppose God? No. The universe belongs to God, is 100% spiritual, good, made by God. And good is ever present. And in the definition of good, here in the Glossary of Science and Health, says God, spirit, omnipotence. So is there another power but good? No. There's no bad power that we're having to put up with for however many months. There's just good, all-powerful good. And then it says omniscience. So who's doing all the knowing? God is. God is doing all the knowing, and it is all good. And then it says omnipresence. So is it possible that there's a little corner where someone can be deprived of good or not get it or not access it or not know about it? No, because good is omnipresent already. And then the last thing is omni-action. So what kind of action is going on at the San Francisco International Airport? Good, good, and more good. Is there any limitation? No. Any obstructions? No. Any barriers? No. Why? Because good is omnipresent, omniactive, omnipotent, and all-knowing. So even if someone walks through that airport, doesn't see one of those signs, does not come into the reading room, will they get good? Will they hear the Christ? Yes. Yes. Because we are bearing witness to the omnipresence, the omnipotence, and the omniscience of the Christ. That's all that's going on. It's everywhere. And because Jesus knew that, even when he tried to hide with his disciples, when they were having such a hard time after John the Baptist's death, and he took his disciples, he said, come on out into the countryside where we can be alone and just rest for a while. And he was going to try to recharge. The multitudes hunted them down and found them, and they were healed. That's God at work. So nothing can hide the Christ. It is a city set on a hill and cannot be hid. And so when Jesus says, come unto me, he's saying the Christ is irresistible. It's calling all thoughts to the understanding of God as love and man as loved. And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A yoke had a position for two to pull together. And so when we are thinking about the reading room, we're not alone, ever alone, even serving in the reading room. We're yoked with Christ. We're yoked together with that idea of God as love and man as loved. And as Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Those terms meant not trying to do anything on our own, but realizing that God is the source of all intelligence, all power, all action, all effect. And then he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there is no burden in serving God. It's only more light mentally and everywhere around us. Just the Christ at work, irresistible. This is God's work. And God is all-powerful good. So these ideas are true for all of the activities of the Christian Science Church. Universally, this is the Almighty God at work. And just as Jesus's life showed us the power, the limitless good and potential of the Almighty God, so God is still here, showing that to us today. Thank you.